The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me. Delighted to be your host today because, well, I won't be for the next few days. Well, no, I've got time off. Our company is very gracious, gives us Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off. And, of course, I'm not on the air on Saturday and Sunday, so today is the last day for me on the program tomorrow and Christmas Eve. Of course, we will have a fine quality best of program to present to you, but this is the last live program until Monday of next week. Looking forward to Christmas. I know that most of you are. Let me say again, it's going to be one of the most unique, unusual Christmases that any of us have ever spent. And I've probably said this 100 times in the last, well, concerning Thanksgiving and Christmas, probably 100 times. Take what God gives you. I know that not all families will be able to be together. Family gatherings will be smaller. There will be people that will be alone this Christmas. And just take what God gives you and thank Him. You know, we say, well, Christmas is all about family. Christmas is all about children. No, it isn't. That has become a part of it. Christmas is about Jesus. And it's interesting. I was thinking about stealing it, not giving him credit, but nah, I wouldn't do that. I saw a post from Chuck Swindoll today that kind of shocked me. The headline on Chuck Swindoll's post was, "Jesus is not the reason for the season." And I thought, what has gotten into Chuck Swindoll? Now, he's up in years now. I think he's in his 80s. Has he lost his mind? What do you mean? Jesus is not the reason for the season. Then he explained. He said, Jesus is not the reason for the season. We are. And it's true. It was because of us that Jesus came to this earth. If it was not for sinful, fallen mankind in desperate need of redemption, salvation, forgiveness, restoration, if it was not for us sinful, fallen human beings, there would be no Christmas. There would be no plan of salvation where God would become incarnate, God would become man, God would give up all of the wonders and the glories and the splendor of heaven and come and be born as a tiny little baby in a manger in Bethlehem, totally, completely dependent on the people he created. Because I really do believe that in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I really do believe that Jesus is the creator. I really do believe that. And so he became totally dependent upon the beings that he created. And the God who created water could not get a drink for himself. The God that created everything that has become food could not feed himself. Somebody had to change his poopy diaper or whatever they wore in those days. Can you imagine the humiliation of God having to depend upon someone to wipe his stinky, dirty bottom? Can you imagine? And then as he grew, can you imagine the creator observing what his creation had done to the rest of creation? Man's fall, his disobedience brought a curse upon this earth that was created in perfection. And he observed that, watched that, saw the drunk lying in his own vomit in the gutter, knowing that this was a part of the wonderful creation. So, technically, Jesus is not the reason for the season. We are. Now, I know that we celebrate Jesus' birth, not our births, on Christmas. But the whole reason why we have Christmas and we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ is because we, as fallen, sinful, rebellious, evil, hell-bound, separated from God, human beings, desperately needed a Savior. And God designed this incredible plan of salvation that none of us would have come up with. And by the way, in the Trinity, I believe that not only was Jesus the creator, he was the one who dreamed up this whole plan where God would become incarnate. He would condescend and leave heaven and come to this earth and live and then be horribly tortured and murdered and suffer and die on the cross and then rise again on the third day. It was Jesus that came up with that. There are a couple of gospel songs that are really moving and emotional and beautiful, but they're completely wrong. A couple of gospel songs said that God looked all over heaven looking for someone to come to this earth. He looked all over heaven for someone, I guess, referring to the angels or whatever. And then finally, God found a Savior. It's not true. That would kind of fit into Mormon doctrine. Yeah, that would kind of fit into Mormon doctrine because Jesus is not God in Mormon doctrine. Mormons don't believe in a Trinity. Mormons don't believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mormons believe that Jesus was a created being or born of a human-like God who had become God. And Lucifer was his brother. It's a weird, 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 bizarre theology. But that whole scenario does not fit biblical theology because Scripture says that Jesus was the author and the finisher of our faith. So among Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it was Jesus who was the author and finisher of our faith. It was his plan that he would come and die and sacrifice himself on the cross. Because God so loved the world. Interesting thought. And whatever your circumstances, Christmas, however many family members you may or may not have with you, regardless of how many gifts you may or may not give or receive, regardless of whether you can travel or not travel, Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Yes, the baby, but also the author and the finisher of our faith. Circumstances of family, health, finances should not impact our personal celebration at all.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Oh, the celebration of Christmas is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I want to share something with you that I came across a couple of years ago that I had never, ever, ever seen. And yet it's one of the most exciting things that I've ever discovered about Christmas and why Jesus was born, where he was born, and when he was born. There is a somewhat obscure prophecy in Micah chapter 4, 8. And it simply says, "And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem." Micah 4, 8. Not every Bible commentator agrees. And I want you to understand that. Not everyone agrees with this, but I believe it's true. When you put together what we know in the New Testament about the star, Bethlehem, the shepherds in the field, Micah 4, 8, and Jewish tradition, ancient Jewish tradition, here is what I believe to be true. The shepherds outside of Bethlehem were not just your ordinary everyday shepherds. They were watching over the flock of the sheep that would be sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem. Bethlehem is a short walking distance away from Jerusalem. Those of you that have been in Israel, you know that. And in the middle of the shepherd's field was a tower. It's called the Tower of Migdol, or sometimes referred to as Migdol Eder, E-D-E-R. Now again, this is an ancient Jewish tradition. And the purpose of the tower in the shepherd's field right outside the city of Bethlehem was that the shepherds were guarding the flock of the sheep that were used in the temple sacrifices. Now, we know that the temple sacrifices were not just your regular, ordinary, everyday sheep. They had to be the best of the best of the best of the best to be used in the sacrifices. And so there was a flock of sheep, and they were dedicated to the temple sacrifices. And when a female lamb was ready to give birth in this field, just when the sheep was ready to give birth, she would be taken into Migdol Eder, or the Tower of Migdol. And there she would be cared for until she gave birth. And when she gave birth to that lamb, the priests would immediately come and inspect the lamb to make sure that it was perfect. If it was not perfect, if it had any kind of blemish, it would be removed from the Tower of Migdol and be relegated to another flock somewhere. But if it was found to have no blemish and worthy to be a sacrifice at the temple, and by the way, that lamb would have to grow to be 1 year old before it could be given as a sacrifice. And through that entire year, it would be watched constantly to make sure that it was not crippled in any way, that there was no blemish in any way. But anyway, ancient Jewish tradition says that after the priests inspected that brand new baby lamb, it would be wrapped in swaddling clothes because that lamb was born to die, to be a sacrifice. And some Jewish historians say that when the lamb, the baby lamb, was born and inspected by the priest and determined to be worthy to become a sacrifice, a fire was lit on top of the Tower of Migdol, or Migdol Eder, to signify a brand new lamb worthy of sacrifice had been born. So in other words, when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field and they were told to go to the stable, not just any stable, they knew the significance of this baby. They knew that this baby was not just any baby. And the star above the tower was the light indicating that the baby was indeed born to die. Everything about the birth of Jesus was orchestrated to perfectly fulfill the prophecy that a lamb would give his life for his people. Read Isaiah 53. Everything about the birth of Jesus was planned, coordinated, no accidents, and truly supernatural. We'll be back.